Hello and welcome to Dvorak Horowitz Unplugged, an hour-long discussion of activity in the financial markets around the world, featuring columnist John C. Dvorak and money manager Andrew Horowitz. This conversation is casual and unrehearsed. Let's join John and Andrew now.
I'm John C. Dvorak.
I'm Andrew Horowitz.
And here we are plowing through the month of April. It's tomorrow's tax day.
You done?
Yeah, I'm done. Are you? How are you doing?
I'm almost, I guess, a few things that are outstanding and a few things that have to be done, but otherwise it's getting there.
Yeah, you're not done, in other words.
No, not really. Close, but not done.
And well, you put together a list of a lot of stuff to talk about today.
It's a long list. It's a long list. I finally was able to actually, first of all, just to let you know, turn off my Apple notifications that was interrupting me every time I was talking during a podcast. So I'm very happy about that. So it's a very big day because I was constantly getting interrupted.
Notifications.
You get every time I get a text message, it comes on my Apple iPhone, on my iPad, and on my iMac. And so every time that you get a FaceTime notification, anything that happened, I would get this announcement. I would get something that said, "Oh, you have to, you know, do something." And I'm like, well, "Wait a minute!" So you'd hear it. It was an audio notification.
Beep.
Yeah, it's finally gone. Yeah, we have a lot of things going on. I think the first one we could probably talk about is the election. Marco Rubio.
Eric Cuomo.
He's back. No? Marco Rubio threw his hat in the ring. I don't know what you think about him, but he seems to have a lot of opposition and a lot of concern by many different parties. But you think
Still looks like he's 12 years old. I think that's the biggest drawback.
Doogie Howser for president. He's not going
to win. That's kind of a problem. But I think he's angling for vice president because he's the perfect candidate for such a thing. You know, he's multi-culti. He's got Hispanic roots. He's Cuban. He's got a lot of elements. Conservative. He's a little wishy-washy, but he's a good speaker. Good speaker. And
that's where it is.
It's something I noticed, though. I was watching him. He came after he did his presentation. He was on Hannity's show. And they were in the area, in their ballroom or wherever it was. And I guess it had a couple of lights on him. I didn't know. I don't know if anyone said anything about this. He's a sweater.
Oh, well, that's not good. No. Especially with high def television these days. I mean, you look what happened to Nixon.
He was sweating like a pig, and he had one drop that was going down the side of his face, and he didn't notice it right away. He had to wipe it down. He had like a Kleenex or something or tissue in his one hand, and every time the camera turned away from him, he'd wipe himself.
Oh.
And he needs to learn a couple of things about this problem, which is not unusual. Nixon had this problem.
Well, what is he going to do? I mean, what is he possibly going to do?
What you do is what Nixon did.
Oh.
You take a handkerchief, and you soak it in antiperspirant.
Oh, it's got to be uncomfortable.
And then you wipe your face with it, so the antiperspirant sucks up most of the juice. And if you start to sweat, which you will anyway, you sweat right through this stuff. Every time you towel down with the napkin or with the handkerchief, which it'll put more antiperspirant on your face, and you won't be obviously sweating like a pig. Rubio is wiping his face like every 2 minutes. It was funny.
He's not going to get like a crust formation on his face.
That should be the newest. No, antiperspirants should work fine.
Hmm. Well, we also have Hillary Clinton throwing her bonnet in, which we got some questions on Twitter on this, and there were some questions about, well, who's going to be the best for the markets? You know, who's going to be the best president for the markets? And I think it's kind of funny, actually, that nobody really cares about the economy and maybe the country at large. It's all about the markets. People are all into their money.
Well, that's what the show's about.
Right. Well, I guess that's a good point. So maybe that's why they asked us. And if they asked somebody that was maybe more of a cultural show, they might have said something about, who's better for mankind. I guess.
So I don't know.
I do think that the markets will do better, or the potential for better, if Hillary does get in there. I'm not saying that I'm standing behind her or anything like that. I think it would be kind of really cool, Bill being in the White House for another term. That would be fun. With no responsibility.
Standing behind her, if you were standing behind her, we definitely would not see you.
Did you see what she was wearing the other day when she made her announcement? It was like some kind of an Indian monk garb or something with this.
I don't know what her taste in clothes is. Very terrible. Strange.
Yeah, terrible. I mean, she's not going to make a statement and start a trend like Michelle Obama did by any means.
No, that's not going to happen.
Anytime somebody wears one of those outfits that's full covering down to your knees, you know they're hiding their ass.
Yeah.
You know, that's what it is. You know, or when they tie, yeah. How about the old, I'm going to tie a sweatshirt around my butt when I walk outside and nobody will know how fat I am.
Nobody will know.
Nobody's going to notice.
I got a big butt.
All right. Once again, we're playing with Iran. I don't really understand what the deal is here, but we came up with this word. We talked about, you and I, the word framework, how they have this framework of a plan, the potential of an absolutely non-binding potential, initial agreement or something as they were talking about, this ridiculous crap. So fast forward a week later and already, the supreme leader of Iran is saying, this is not going to work for us. We don't want this. Now, that may not be the only party and the only person that's going to make the final, but the fact is that it seems like the reality of these, first of all, the politicians, but secondly, the gullible reporters reporting on this lying crap is just unbelievable. They have no scruples.
Huh.
So now what's happening is Russia is all excited because, well, maybe some of these sanctions, these global sanctions will be lifted on Iran. And what's the first thing they're going to do? They're going to send missiles. They're going to, good news. We could start up the missile factory again and supply Iran with missiles.
Yeah, this is just troublemakers.
come on, that's pretty funny.
It is funny. I thought it's hilarious, actually.
You know, we're
going to tweak the EU.
Yeah, you know, and if that works, we're going to, you know, we're just going to put a small batch of uranium together for their nuclear heating program. You know, just to make sure that, just to piss off.
In the shape of a bomb.
We'll hide it inside the bomb.
It's just shaped that way. It doesn't mean anything.
So China's still in rally mode. You know, I don't know if you noticed this, but China's stocks are up an extraordinary amount. I think between the last show and now, I believe it was the last show and now, there was a move by the Hang Seng Index by 7% in one day. It actually closed.
That's a lot.
Yeah, that's a lot. It closed actually about 2.5% up, which tells me there was about almost a 5% drawdown from the high. But China's in rally mode. The stocks in China were up about 90% over the last year. Hang Seng was, which has a lot of dual registration. A lot of stocks from the Chinese markets are also traded on the Hang Seng, and they were trading at a significant discount. So what happened was somebody got wind of this one day when there was a decision made that mutual funds and institutional managers can now invest in some of these markets and allowance for that, and just things went bonkers. This is with all the negative news coming out of China. This weekend we saw exports fall by 14% month over month. There was an expectation of an 8% rise.
That's a lot.
It's amazing.
Huge amount.
And that's what they're telling us it is.
Now, right, it could be way down.
Yep. GDP is out tonight. I have no idea what that's going to be. Now, the one thing I do know usually is whatever the number is supposed to be, China seems to put that number up as the number when it comes to GDP. So the expectation is for 7%, which sounds like a great number. But for China, that's not so good. So I don't know what's going to happen with.
Yeah. Well, it's not. Yeah, they're going to have to get used to that number, though.
Yeah, it can't keep on going. I mean, it's the same thing as the old day. Remember Dell was growing at 50% a year?
Yeah.
And if you extrapolate it out, what would happen is if you continued this for some time, what would happen is that there'd be somewhere in the neighborhood of 3 or 4 PCs on everybody's desktop over the next few years. And that just didn't work, just didn't make any sense. Netflix. Some interesting news out of Netflix. There was Netflix had a good quarter and a lot of things are coming together. And one of the things that happened was that we have earnings coming up, but there was they put together a filing that they're going to increase their share allowance that they can have outstanding by a multiple of, I don't know, like some ridiculous number, like 30 times. And the big question is, why is that? So the thought.
Yeah, why is that? Well, are they expecting some splits or something?
Yeah, maybe they'll do a 5-for-1 or a 7-for-1 or a 10-for-1 split. Stock's currently trading, what, north of 200 and change? 280?
Well,
or is it maybe 380?
An announcement of a split would boost the stock even more.
Right. But what will happen is they'll need to have, if they do that kind of split, like a 10-for-1 split, they'll be required to have enough shares on hand to do so.
Right.
So that's probably what's going on there. I don't know what else could be going on there. Last Friday, the VIX, which is the volatility index, the fear index, which it doesn't seem to work right these days, hit 12.5. Very low. 15 is kind of like the normal, semi-normal number that you want to look at. Well, last Friday, with all that's going on, it hit 12.5. I think the low we had recently was like, I don't know, 10 or something. Hit 12.5, and I was kind of scratching my head saying, boy, it doesn't feel like a 12.5 environment. Kick back up to over 14 on Monday, and now it's just shy of 14, about 13.5 right now. We have some Fed speakers coming out and a few other things happening, but we've been seeing, once again, all of the economic numbers falling shy, so we'll continue to see if anybody really cares about that. Let's see. Retail sales also were running below expectations. The good news is retail sales actually were better than they have been. But as a matter of fact, I think this was the first, I believe it was the first month in the last two or three that retail sales were actually a positive number. So that's good. But the question is, with all these people working, why aren't they buying things? Or maybe what they're doing is they're smart. They're buying things from other places around the world, not the U.S., because the U.S. dollar is so strong. I don't know if I'd count on that, though. I'm not that smart.
I don't know.
I mean, if you were to say, oh, I want to buy something, where are you going to buy it from that's not U.S.-based?
I don't know.
Yeah.
I don't think you can.
No.
Maybe they're just holding on to their money because they're fearful.
Fearful of what? Things are fantastic.
Yeah, the stuff, yeah, it's all bullcrap, though.
You think they're getting a hint?
You what?
You think they're getting a hint? They're getting wise to it?
Maybe. Well, that's never happened in the past, so maybe not. Specifically, a huge deficit.
But, yeah. You watch the Masters this weekend?
You know, it's funny. I hate watching golf. But somewhere along the line, I got this kind of sense there was something going on. And so I went and I started watching it because there's this guy,
yep.
Jordan. And I watched it. I swear I've never watched golf. At least I watched the last 9 holes. But I never watched golf. I think it's boring. But they actually made it kind of exciting because this kid just totally kicking it. He's what a great golfer.
Right. At 21. 21 years old, this guy.
Yeah, he's 21. Same age when Tiger showed up. Just between him and Tiger, because now I've been following. He was on Letterman the other night. But the this guy, Jordan Spieth, He never was. Tiger, I believe, was on like the Merv Griffin show or something when he was like 4.
Yeah.
And he could hit a golf ball then. His dad was like training him to be a golfer. And so he worked on him since he was 4 or 5 years old. This guy's different. He was just an athlete that played all multiple sports in high school and took up golf when he was like 13 or 14. And was already, he was so good so fast that apparently he got into some amateur tournament that was very important, pro-am or something, that came into town. The whole high school got to take the day off to go watch him play. I think he was 14 at the time. And so he's a different kind of athlete than Tiger. And it'll be interesting to see how well he does. I'm just disappointed he missed that last putt.
Man, he was just ripping it up, though. I mean, he was...
Oh, that one shot he made, he had one shot. This is going to bore everybody. But that one shot where he drove the ball into the woods.
Yep, yep.
And then he figured he was going to get a bogey on this hole. And he found a way between two trees to shoot the ball. I don't know what iron he used, probably a 2 or 3, but not lift it. So just he just punch. Hit it really hard in a straight low angle.
Yeah.
So he just threw the ball with no lift, just through the trees. It never went more than, I guess, 10 feet, not even that high, maybe 6 feet above the ground, but with lots of speed. And it hit the fairway and then bounced and bounced and went down the hill and bounced and bounced and bounced. And he was in a good position and he parred out the hole.
Yeah, impressive. Very impressive.
Yeah, I was impressed.
I
probably won't watch golf again, but that was a moment in history to watch.
I haven't watched it either, but I can tell you something. The same thing. I mean, it was kind of like, oh, what's going on with the Masters? This guy is like, how much ahead? What's this guy? 21 years old? That's just amazing. I mean, he just cool thing was he kept his cool the whole time. On the other hand, did you watch cool Tiger at all? This guy looks. Yeah, does he not look miserable?
He looks unhappy. He still can make shots that are pretty astonishing, but he was not even in it. You know, I mean, I don't think he'll ever be in it again. And he seems like he's, I don't know, lost.
He looks angry. Ojo. He just always angry. You know, he's just walking around all pissed off and angry and just. I guess he has reason to be. Well, you know, did he expect to be, you know, on top of everything forever?
At the time when he was at the top of everything, it looked like he could have gone a lot further than he did. But then he had these, you know, he got his sex mixed up with his golf.
Yeah.
His wife left him. It's not fun for anyone.
Yeah.
And he's embarrassed and he never got over it. And I think it, you know, hurt his chances. He was going to be the guy who's going to be Jack Nicklaus's, you know, most majors record. I don't think he's got a prayer to do that now.
Mm. All right. Let's see what else we got here. Let's see here. Oh, this was interesting. Did you see the movie The Imitation Game?
No, I never did.
Oh, that was a great movie. You should see that. It's a good movie. You'd like it because of the mathematics behind it and the history. I know you'd like that. But anyway, this guy who it was about, whether it was exactly or loosely based, this guy, Alan Turing.
Yeah, Alan Turing, yeah.
His notebook, a notebook that he had during World War II, I suppose it was, sold at an auction for $1 billion.
No, it didn't. It was a million.
I saw a billion. I thought that's why I had his news item. Is that what it was? A billion? A million?
Yeah, I think.
Alan Turing notebook. Did you mean Alan Turing notebook? Maybe. 1 million. Oh, that's not news. Moving on.
Well, it is news because it's just an old notebook. I don't know. It's some Silicon Valley guy who bought it. I'm sure Gates or Paul Allen.
I wonder what the thought is. Maybe if I read it backwards and upside down and dog-ear this page and fold that page, there's going to be something.
They're just collecting stuff because they're show offs. They got nothing to do with their money. Look what I own here. I mean, Bill bought a Da Vinci thing some time ago that most experts say wasn't worth half of what he spent on it. And then the other one, the other collectors, is the Ballmer who bought the San Diego Clippers for way too much money.
So is it kind of like cocktail talk, like, James, you know what I have? Or did you hear what Paulie has? He has a new notebook from that guy in the movie.
Exactly.
You know what I'm saying?
And you got the voice down.
Yeah. Exactly. Oh. You got a lot of whining going on there. Let's see here. Stocks in the news. We got a lot of stocks and a lot of things happening here. JP Morgan Chase came out with earnings. Bank earned $1.45 per share for the first quarter, 5 cents above estimates, and that was good. Jamie Dimon said the company is getting safer and stronger, as well as gaining market share. Soon they will own the world. Johnson & Johnson came out. This was interesting. They beat by 2 cents with an adjustment, et cetera, but they lowered their full-year guidance. So, of course, the market shrugged it off and moved the stock up anyway. Wells Fargo reported profit, and they were above estimates, but they didn't have a higher year-over-year earnings, and they were down. The big one that was interesting today was Norfolk Southern. This is the trains, you know, the transportation company.
Yeah.
They missed pretty badly. It was about coal and also some reduction in fuel. This I always found interesting. They earned less money because they had a reduction in fuel surcharge revenue. Now, just follow me on this. FedEx did the same thing, and this is what I don't understand. So if you have lower costs for fuel and you reduce your fuel cost surcharge, shouldn't that even out?
You'd think so, but there's got to be what we're witnessing here, I believe, is a bookkeeping trick that was used to bolster something or other, and then once that was pulled out from under, the bookkeeping trick wasn't valid anymore, and it resulted in a net loss of some sort.
Well, it could be. I mean, it's amazing that.
I mean, what else could it be? It has to be a bookkeeping trick.
Yeah, they must do some kind of a deduction for it, then put it on the other side and bring it back, because it doesn't make any sense to me. I mean, it really,
No, it doesn't. It makes no sense.
Right. So other rail stocks got hit. Union Pacific, actually, CSX got hit, but they came out with earnings and beat, and their stock was up about 3.5% after hours. It was interesting during the day. CSX, which was expected to report earnings after the close, came out, and the stock, when it opened up in reaction to this Norfolk Southern number, was down about 6%. By the end of the day, it was even to up slightly. And somebody obviously knew what was going on, right?
I would think.
Yeah. Then we got IBM. IBM's creating a new Watson unit. So everything's going to be Watson now, right? Watson this, Watson that, since they got the...
Yeah, but it's a scam.
Yeah. Actually, this is a partnership with Apple. Data analytics to healthcare companies using information gathered from Apple devices. I'm a little bit concerned about all this health information gathering, aren't you?
Well, it does seem like an invasion of privacy.
And by the way,
I'm more concerned about the psychological effect it has on people. When you everything you do, you're just monitoring yourself constantly. What are you afraid of?
Yeah. Well,
can't enjoy anything. You count your steps.
Now, not to bring up too weird of an idea here, but if you know anything about the history of the Holocaust and World War II, you know that IBM was deeply involved with the gathering of information for Germans. They had a separate subsidiary because they weren't supposed to be working with Germany because it was the enemy, right? And they had the punch card systems at that time. And
yeah,
they
Hollerith.
Hollerith and Dechemann was another unit, and they had this whole thing where they were supplying all the punch cards. And one of the things that the punch cards did was to keep tabs on the Jews, where they were. One of the things that was always heard through the Holocaust was said was, how do they know? How do they know we were Jewish? Because there was a big census done a few years back, before this all began, by the Nazis. And all that information was fed into a computer. These computers ran the trains that went to Treblinka and went to all of the various concentration camps and made them run very well. And this was all under the guise of all profit for IBM at the time. So now I start thinking about IBM is creating the Watson. Now, this is under Thomas Watson, by the way, which was the founder of IBM. Thomas Watson was supposedly anti-Semitic and whatever, but... he was the one that allowed all this to happen with Germany and knowing what was going on with the information they were gathering, et cetera. Now they have the Watson Health Unit, which is gathering data for Apple. As a Jew, it scares the hell out of me.
I don't blame you, I guess.
Right? I mean, we're gathering data on people once again. For what use? For the bigger use of... government.
Oh, so you can be healthier.
Yeah.
So you can get diagnosed properly.
Right.
Yeah, no, I think it's a valid concern.
You know, I don't know if I ever told you this. I was over in, I think it was Czechoslovakia. There's a concentration camp there. And the name of it is, it was the one they used as a show place where they came in and did some video.
Not Auschwitz.
No. This was...
that's in Poland, I guess.
What was this called? Oh. Anyway. This particular concentration camp was used as a place that the Red Cross came in and they did some videos and said, oh, look, we're not treating them so badly. It was one of the quote-unquote nicer concentration camps, okay? So I was doing a tour, and we get up to the showers, and the guide was like the Vincent Price of Czechoslovakia, and it was a woman, okay? She says, follow me into the shower.
Is it Terezin? Terezin.
Terezin, yep. Okay. So I go there and we get to the showers, you know, where they would gas all the Jews, right? So I get there and they're like, follow us into the showers. We'll show you what it's like. I'm like, hell no. What do you think? I'm an idiot? I'm not doing that.
I'm not going in
the showers. I'll stand outside and look in and see what's going on. I'll watch the door. Crazy.
Always the paranoid. it was a good friend of mine who did the book that busted IBM and did the articles that busted IBM on this.
IBM and the Holocaust, that book?
Ed Black, yeah.
Oh, that was a great book.
Yeah, he's a good writer.
Great book.
I haven't seen him for years. But he did another book after that was even more spectacular. But he's, yeah,
Yeah, that
good
was
guy.
Something. That was pretty scary.
He used to run the magazine, the CPM, or no, the OS2 magazine.
Oh, interesting.
He was a computer guy, too.
Now, Avon Products, this was interesting. The company yesterday postponed an annual investor meeting that was set for May 13th until sometime in the fall because they have a new, they said that it'll allow the new chief financial officer, James Scully, to prepare for a more robust discussion of turnaround strategies. Stock was down a couple points. Meanwhile, all of a sudden the stock vaults 15% today because there's an announcement they're going to be looking for strategic alternatives.
Ah.
So talk about playing an
absolute...
It's
that old term we used to follow, the use of that word, strategic.
Yeah, strategic alternatives. This is a company that comes out and says they have to postpone it, and then the next day they say this thing. This is a really poorly run company, and absolutely, I think, should be ashamed, seriously, of this kind of maneuvering. Manipulation, for that matter. But shame on you, Avon. Alcatel-Lucent is in talks to be bought by Nokia. What do they have anymore, Nokia? They were the original flip phone, right? What are they now?
What, Nokia?
Yeah.
I don't know what they're doing. I mean, we could find out easy enough. But they did, they have everything but the phones now.
Right.
So they have their old businesses. I think they have, I don't know. I have no idea.
Did somebody buy the phone group?
Microsoft.
Oh, right. Oh, that worked out well. Yeah, I forgot about that. So now Alibaba. Remember I've been very concerned about Alibaba scratching my head?
And by the way, the funny thing about Nokia is it has been up and down like a yo-yo every time it divests itself of some business. I think it's a long-term buy.
Oh, interesting. So they're going to buy Alcatel-Lucent. Lucent, remember those guys?
Yeah, I don't know what the point of this is.
They were so exciting at one time. Now, Alibaba, you remember I've been very concerned and skeptical about Alibaba because, you know, with all of the bad products that are put out of China, you know, and all the things that we've been seeing in terms of materials and formaldehyde and chemicals and all this, their numbers are just astounding. They're selling things like crazy, and you have to buy like 1,000 pieces, you know, some crazy amount. Well, so now it's instituted a policy to fight counterfeit goods following a strongly worded letter from the American Apparel and Footwear Association. So I guess there's a lot of knockoffs of Nikes and all sorts of apparel that's being knocked off.
Oh, yeah.
So
why not?
The group said it did not feel Alibaba was either capable or interested in either addressing the issue at all. That's pretty rough, huh?
Probably true.
Yeah, I would agree. So a lot of the airlines came out with information over the last, you know, I don't know what your experience is, but this whole, oh, we've arrived or, we're on time, and meanwhile you're half hour late with airlines, is kind of crazy, right? You know,
I think they jigger the numbers.
Just a little. And service has gotten worse. And the whole experience has become, you know, I think there was a time it got really bad and then a time it got really good. And then we're back into the really bad again. So JetBlue is the quickest U.S. airline to cancel flights during storms. You may think that's bad, but that's good, actually, because the study said that the policy may help customers get to their destinations more reliably. Now, tell me how those two sentences work together.
Okay. They cancel right away, and you can run off to some other carrier and get a ticket.
Oh, so turning a bad thing and twisting it to make it a good thing.
Yeah.
So not waiting till the last minute and saying, oh, no good, and now there's no planes
right,
available.
You can't get a ticket.
All right, I'll go with that. There is a lot of transportation and airline stories that we have to go through. First is an Alaska airline plane made an emergency landing in Seattle after a gate worker in the northwest U.S. city fell asleep in the cargo hold before the takeoff.
Shit, I love that story.
And he woke up trapped. So they heard all this banging. I mean, that gets cold down there. Really cold. Right? Yeah. Doesn't it get like negative 30 or something like that?
Well, I don't think it gets that cold, but it gets cold.
It gets cold. So he fell asleep. I don't know how he fell asleep inside the cargo hold. I mean, is not that much time in between unless, who knows? And he wound up trapped. I mean, I guess what these other guys are like, you know, there's not usually one guy working. It's usually a few of them. Maybe they're like, ha-ha, we'll teach him. He falls asleep all the time.
No, I've worked in enough environments where it was all, in goofball jobs. Yeah. I'm sure that's exactly what. Hey, where's Bill?
I don't know.
I locked him in.
Oh yeah. We lost the bet. We told him we were going to do it next time. Told him not to fall asleep. So he's banging. And they finally. Isn't there crawl spaces to get up into the plane from the cargo hold?
Depends on the plane. I don't know what plane that was. It looked like it was a, what was it? I saw that plane. It's like a 737 or something. Hmm. And the big jets, you can go down there and go to sleep down there. I mean, there's a little dumbwaiter you can get in on a 747. They have it about in the middle of the plane. And you can actually go down below and wander around. I've always wanted to just take the thing and go down there.
Just have a little fun?
Yeah, just look around, see what it is. Is there a light you can turn on? I don't need a flashlight. I have no idea.
All right, well, there's more that's going on. CBS4 investigation has learned that two Transportation Security Administration screeners at Denver International Airport have been fired after they were discovered manipulating passenger screening systems to allow a male TSA employee to fondle the genital areas of attractive male passengers.
Yeah.
It happened.
Yeah, that's a good one.
Happened roughly a dozen times, according to.
Sir, come over here. You're gonna have to. We have to give you a run now here. Something's up.
So I guess the deal is. Here's what happened. This guy that I guess spilled the beans, the whistleblower, said that when a male he finds attractive comes to be screened by the scanning machine, he will alert another TSA screener to indicate to the scanning computer that the party being screened is a female. When the screener does this, the scanning machine will indicate an anomaly in the genital area, and this allows the male TSA screener to conduct a pat-down search of the area.
Ah!
How inventive is that?
That's very inventive. These guys should be entrepreneurs.
I'm sorry, ma'am. You said there's nothing in your pockets, but you know, it looks like there could be possibly a weapon of sorts that's in your pants. Sir, we're going to have to, pat you down. Now, inside a plane at Miami International Airport, baggage handlers are going on a shopping spree with the passenger bags.
Yeah, now, they busted them.
What they didn't know is they were being recorded on a hidden camera. Did you ever have anything? I don't know if you could.
I've had my bags open and they left a note.
Oh,
but
come
I
on.
Always carry on. I rarely check luggage. Rarely. Even when I go to Europe. I rarely check luggage. I have a roller bag. And then sometimes I'll have the, computer bag, and that's it. I'll buy clothes over there. Because I just don't want people rummaging around. Because sometimes you put something in, like if I'm just carrying it on, I can put a camera in there, I can do different things. I don't have to worry about it. But if I'm checking my luggage, they're gonna steal the camera. This is horrible. They do nothing really. The numbers I saw that were on the television about this story were something like, 14 or $40 million stolen and goes on at all the airports. Number one worst airport is JFK. At one time some years ago, this was probably before TSA, pre-TSA, I was coming in from Europe and I landed at JFK. And as I was talking to somebody, I don't know what the circumstances were, but some woman came up to the guys who checked, the security guys, and she said, my case of wine didn't show up. And I'm thinking, she says, it was a big wooden box. They checked it in. It said Gaia on the side, G-A, I think it's Y-A, or G-A-J-A, that's what it is, which is an extremely expensive Italian wine. So she's going to ship a case of extremely expensive Italian wine, and I'm talking about very expensive, into the New York City.
Yeah.
And the guy said to her, I don't think you're ever going to see that case of wine.
But what's interesting about this is that I recall that you're not allowed to lock your bags anymore, right?
I know, this is the irony of that.
But you could do that crazy wrapping thing.
Which is the same as a locked bag, isn't it?
It would seem to me. I mean, you go to Miami Airport and they're putting all that Saran wrap around the bags like it's going into a microwave.
Right.
And then, but you're not allowed to put a lock on your bag.
Yeah, that is a good point.
I don't understand what the difference is.
I never made that observation, but it's valid.
Yeah. Well, here's some happy stories. I thought we'd give you a happy story before we go into some other crazy things here. It seems this guy, Dan Price, the founder of Gravity Payments, which is a low-cost credit card payment service, like an online thing. Yeah. He was all happy. He was inspired. He read an article on happiness. It showed that for people who earn less than $70,000, extra money makes a big difference in their lives.
Wow. Stop the presses.
Yeah, I know, right. So his idea bubbled into reality on Monday afternoon when Mr. Price surprised his 120-person staff by announcing that he planned over the next 3 years to raise the salary of even the lowest paid clerk, customer service representative, and salesman to a minimum of $70,000. So he's just keeping them on the edge of happiness, it looks like. Just right, just before...
Yeah, he's a sadist.
Yeah. Now, he's taking down his million, $2 million, $3 million salary to pay for this. Young guy. He's like, I don't know, 29 years old or something like that. But now the big question is going to be, of course, you know, first of all, it's probably a publicity stunt. But secondly, wonder if it's just a retention issue to keep people as long as possible and then cut them loose right before they get the raise. How great would that be? Right? Yeah, you know what? What we're going to do is we're going to anybody that's been here a year, what we're going to do is you're going to get a raise. You're just going to get a small raise right now. And, you know, instead of making $20,000 a year, let's say you're going to make $22,000 right now. And then if you're here for 3 years or more, we're going to raise you to 70. If you're here. Now, meanwhile, the company's probably only 3 or 4 years old, maybe 5 years old, whatever it is. So hopefully it stays in business that long and keeps everybody really just right on the hook.
That's a pretty distinct possibility.
Pretty smart. Pretty smart. Pretty smart. Okay. Now here's a story that I thought was really interesting. Law enforcement authorities said, listen to this carefully. A Georgia man was trying to shoot an armadillo. Guy gets his gun. He sees that armadillo. For whatever reason, he's going to eat it. It's a pest. He just doesn't like it. He wants shooting practice. He's going to shoot this armadillo. So he lines up. He shoots the armadillo. But he accidentally seemed to have shot his mother-in-law. So this is what happened.
How does this work?
Yeah. So this is what happened. A very unusual situation. So this guy, Larry McElroy, who was 54, he fired his 9mm pistol at the armadillo, killing it. Now, armadillos seemingly, I guess, have very, you know, strong, you know, outer shells, right? So the bullet ricocheted off the animal, hit a fence, went through the back door of the mobile home. Of course, it's a mobile home in which his mother-in-law lives and struck her in the back.
Wow. That guy's a hell of a shot.
That's unbelievable. Probably what's going to end up happening, this poor guy is going to get arrested for...
Animal endangerment.
Exactly. Probably laughing his ass off. Shot his mother-in-law. Kind of love that.
Did he kill her?
No. She's just injured. Good. Yep, just injured.
Son of a bitch.
What happened? It was the armadillo. I wasn't even aiming in your direction, I swear. Let's see here. A New York City woman accused of being married to 8 men pleaded not guilty in a state court in Bronx on Friday. 2 counts of felony fraud that prosecutors said stemmed from a scheme to gain U.S. citizenship from her grooms from countries red flagged by the Department of Homeland Security. Why would she marry people that... I don't understand this part.
That doesn't make sense.
First of all, why would she marry 8 people? Second of all, why would she go after...
to marry one.
And why would she go after people that were red flagged? She was 39. She married men from Egypt, Turkey, Georgia, and other countries.
Well, to get them citizenship?
It says that she wanted citizenship. Let's see. She's from a scheme.
Story
to
makes
gain,
zero sense.
Oh, for the grooms. For the grooms, yes.
Okay, for them.
She married those people and...
Now she's running a racket.
Yep. I'll take 300 rupees. You will be married, we'll be fine. So 8 times. She tied the knot an 8th time with Pakistani man Rashid Rajput. I wonder how they found out about this and what the problem is. Did somebody go to jail for that? I guess.
Yeah. Well, they found out about it because they probably had, you know, you have to do all these, you have to have all these meetings. And I guess she showed up to with the same interviewer with a different guy. And then they put 2 and 2 together. That's the only thing I can think of.
Now, back on the travel scene, we have the gastrointestinal illness has hit about 112 people on the cruise ship Celebrity Infinity. And there was also another one of the, I think the something of the sea, the Royal Caribbean. Of the ship's 2,100 passengers, 106 had suffered from vomiting, diarrhea, and other symptoms. And yeah. The illness has also affected six members of the 964-person crew. This is another outbreak of this norovirus. Have you been on a cruise? I go on those cruises. I must use up about a gallon of Purell.
You know, no, I don't go on cruises, A. And B, you know what happens if you get sick on one of those cruises? What you get from the cruise company?
What do you get?
A free cruise.
Free cruise, yeah.
Seriously.
Yeah. What else are they going to give you?
I don't know.
I mean,
maybe your money back or something, it seems to me.
Once that thing, I mean, I've heard this is just bad. I mean, you're trapped on a boat. You got those horribly small toilets that, if you're not careful, will suck you down with it. Have you ever seen one of those toilets on a cruise ship?
No.
So it's one of those, it's like an extreme version of the ones on an airplane. You know, when you flush the ones on the airplane and just sucked it out.
Yeah, they make sure to put the lid down.
Yeah, that's exactly right, because it's unbelievable. So just the whole, like, the curtains on the other side of the room get sucked in when you flush the toilet. Okay, so, and the bathrooms are about big enough for you to back into. And I can't even imagine having to be in there for any period of time with this kind of disease, you know, this sickness.
Well, the good thing about Noro is it only lasts for a couple of days.
Yeah, but it's a good diet.
I had it once.
Oh, did you?
I lost about 5 pounds.
How'd you get it? How'd you contract it?
I don't know. Everybody in the family, I think, had it or something. It just got passed around. I just ended up with Noro. I wasn't on a cruise ship.
Right.
And I ended up with Noro, and it was just, you know, it was Noro is what it was. It's very distinctive.
In the old days on a cruise ship, they would take all the things in the buffet and the things they cook throughout the afternoon, and what they would do is they would oftentimes do something with it, like the beef. They'd make some kind of a chipped beef or maybe the rice that was left over. They make a fried rice, and they serve it as the midnight buffet. I'm sure of this, okay? These days, all the extra food is thrown out.
Well, they do throw it over the side?
They just put, well, nothing gets, I don't think they throw it over the side, but they have these gigantic compactors in the hold and just put it all in there. Because I asked them, I said, what do you do with all this extra food when you close up? What do you, you know, what happens to this? We throw it out. Everything gets thrown out. Each day, that's in the buffets and all that. But it's pretty disgusting. I mean, you walk in there. First of all, when you walk in these cruises now, when you actually step in, they spray your hands with alcohol. There's a woman there with a spray gun, a spray bottle, spraying you, spritzing you with the alcohol. And there's these Purell bottles everywhere, because if you think about it, you're going up a staircase, you're touching that. You get in the line, you got food and plates and stuff, you're touching that. You got somebody sneezing on the food over, you know, those sneeze guards. Yeah. You know, those sneeze guards always get something going on there, so it's disgusting. And you know the one thing I don't do on a cruise? Under any circumstances. I definitely don't go in the pool, but absolutely without a question, I will not go in the hot tubs.
Yeah.
That seems like probably one of the most disgusting things I could ever think about doing.
Yeah.
Let's see what else I have here on my list. I talked about Alibaba. We talked about Wells Fargo, Masters, Netflix, China.
Well, you want to talk about the Apple Watch again?
Oh, what about it?
It looks like everyone's still all... Apparently, they sold 1 million.
Yeah. They sold out. Now they're not going to have
any... Sold out is 5 million, so that's not being sold out.
They said they sold out.
Yeah, I know, but they... Experts say they only sold 1 million. Maybe they can't get the other ones in the channel. I mean, sold out, I guess, in a certain, depending on your definition.
Well, they're sold out from the perspective of delivery.
Oh, yeah, they could be.
You know, you can't get the next batch until June sometime. I still wonder how this is all going to play out in terms of the idea of, you know, I don't know. It seems interesting. And if you want to wear a watch, this is the watch, you know, a watch that you want to wear. It's supposedly the best of breed right now. I saw some guy wearing a Samsung watch today. It looked exactly the same. You know, how much different can you make this thing look? And what's really interesting is if you look at the 52,000 different designs they have for the Apple Watch, it's just a band. The band's different.
Yeah.
Why don't they just sell bands?
Well, somebody should come in a third party and sell the band, a third party band.
Yeah. I mean, that would seem like what they did with like a company like Zag. Or any of these other companies like Spec, which they made the cases for the iPads and for the iPhones. all those fun things, and just come out and make some of those products, because make a pocket watch version. That would be classy. Put on like a gold chain on
it's
your three
called an iPhone.
Oh, yeah, that's true. That's a good point. My wife got the iPhone 6 Plus yesterday. It's the size of her head.
Oh, that big giant phone?
She said, I'm talking to her. I said, I can't hear you. She goes, you know, I know. They told me at the store I got to actually move the phone down. So I talk into it. I said, well, if you move the phone down, can you hear me? No, she says, I have to move it up to hear you.
So she's scratching her ear.
Just going up and down because her phone was just terrible. But it is big enough for her. She needed it. But the good news is it actually converts into a TV tray.
Ah.
That's you just turn it upside down and you got a beautiful
I'm going to get a snare drum for the office. So I can give you a rim shot with these things.
Oh, very nice. Oh, that'd be good. Thanks.
I got a gong.
Gong could work.
Yeah, it's downstairs.
You're the kind of guy that would have you have a kazoo, harmonica, and you would actually and a bell. And you would use the there you go. And your bell, by the way, doesn't have a resonance to it. You know that, right?
The bell?
It just stops.
It's one of those bells that you have on the
pharmacy?
Kind of in dry cleaners. It's one of those, it's a store bell.
Right, but it doesn't ring out. It just dings.
It does ring out. You're just not hearing it because I'm not pointed at it.
Oh, I see. Okay. Well, that's a good thing. I mean, it's cheap enough.
But the gong rings out. It goes on forever.
Oh, God. Let's get to the stocks. Why don't we?
I make people, when they come to the house, they have to bang the gong and announce themselves.
Oh, nice.
Yeah.
That's nice. Well, let's talk about the stocks. I got a good idea. Oh, no, no. Let's not talk about the stocks. Please hold. Just a moment. Just a moment. I have a request out on Twitter to send us questions for the evening. And let's see what we have here. We're going to need the ICD code, Andrew. What the hell does that mean? What's an ICD code?
I don't know. Well, let's look it up. Maybe I can find out.
And they're also hitting you and Adam. What does that mean? Oops.
They're talking about that code that doctors use.
Oh. I guess it was in response to my man shoots armadillo.
Okay. Oh, right. It would be the ICD-9 or ICD-10 code.
Oh, because you were talking about that this weekend. I listen to your show these days. Very funny.
Yeah.
Very funny. Yep. I like your whole vocal fry thing.
The vocal fry thing is a good issue for us to continue to discuss.
That is. My father was diagnosed with vocal fry. It was a diagnosis. He had...
He was talking like that just naturally?
Vocal nodules and vocal fry.
Yeah, you get polyps from doing that.
Yeah. And because so when I heard you say that, I was like, oh, hey. And he went to his speech therapist, and the speech therapist would tell him how to talk, not to do it. So he'd walk around saying, hello, how are you? Like with a lot of breath. That was supposed to solve the problem.
I'm like, just creepy.
It was really creepy. I'm like, Dad, what are you doing? I have to talk like this. He would talk like that to solve his vocal fry issue. I'm like,
yeah, well, just talk normally.
Okay. All right. Let's see. What do we have here? Okay. D-Think, which is a distracted think, at distracted think, wants to know strategies for reacting to the threat of deflation. The only thing you can do with that is that if there is deflation, just keep on investing in stocks, it seems. I mean, because what you're going to have is you're going to have central banks just printing money, putting...
they have to.
We're at 29 now by this time of central bank actions this year. 29 separate central bank actions of stimulus, lowering rates, quantitative easing. All right, let's see here. Christopher Vadis says, of the four wing nuts currently vying for POTUS, what do you think the markets will react most favorably to? You know, we got a lot of, when I ask these questions with you, I hear a lot of no agenda lingo.
We have a lot of listeners, I guess, that carry over from no agenda.
Right.
It does create a way of thinking, the show does.
Yep.
That some people carry around with them. To the extreme that they might as well just wear a big badge that says, I'm with no agenda. It's just the way it is. I mean, we kind of encourage it, but I don't like to see it leaking all over the place.
Well, it's with us and with you, so it's the same. I mean, it's, you know, you're half of it, so I'll give you that half. But just to get back to the vocal fry, by the way, those clips you played of that one particular reporter was hysterical.
Yeah.
I mean, I can't even remember how she said it, but the so just as a point of reference, everyone, the last two No Agenda shows, the one from this Sunday, I believe it was, and Thursday, right, where you really went into this whole vocal fry thing, absolutely, first of all, very educational, of course, on the subject, but hysterical as well. We don't want you to
think you start listening for it and you start hearing it and you get to pick it out of people's, the way they talk. I mean, I didn't realize that Katy Perry, for example, pretty much just talking, she just talks in vocal fry, even though she's a singer and she should know better, because everyone who's a singer is lectured to their blue in the face by some, their voice coaches, not to do that. It really hurts your voice.
Yeah. It was quite enlightening, especially, like I said, it was annoying, by the way. Terribly annoying to hear that.
And when you start hearing it constantly, it gets even more annoying. Yeah. And you hear it way too much. Who knew that it was 75% of college girls today
really
use vocal fry? Yeah, it was, that came up on Thursday.
75% do that thing. Oh, that's horrible.
Wow. Okay.
All right, let's see here. The phone window. Okay, the market. What would the markets react favorably to? We talked about that. Okay, last one that I picked out here was, what place should a stock like Realty Income have in a portfolio? I don't know why. So this is from Nasser. I don't know why you're picking that one, but real estate investments actually are a pretty good investment in this kind of deflationary environment, just to back up both discussions, because you have a nice yield that you get with them. And we're actually looking into some of the foreign REITs right now for some of our portfolios. We've been very successful with utilizing REITs. So if this is just a traditional REIT, I don't know this one in particular that you're looking at, but it would seem to me that these kinds of investments, whether apartment REITs or commercial development REITs, but some that pay a dividend, that have a yield, are very much in vogue right now because of the fact that you can't get yield anywhere else. So there you go. There's our Twitter.
I think that is a good idea.
Mm-hmm. As a matter of fact, you have one of those in the game. We'll talk about it in a second. This is not an offer to buy or sell any security. It's not a recommendation to do it either. If you use any of the information we talk about here, please do me a favor, us a favor, and seek professional financial advice. It's a game that we play, and you know, it's not real money. The list is not going down. We talked about in June that we're going to cut some of these names, right? Is that what we said, June?
Right. And June 1st, we'll decide if we want to pull some of these that are dead money.
Right. So right now, by the way, Walgreens Boots Alliance came out with earnings since our last discussion, I believe it was, and they were up about 5 or 6%. So you're up 50% on that particular stock.
What a pick.
Yep. Panera Bread, just sitting there doing nothing. And we still have to go and check out the soup, and I have to see if there's anything else that I'm mistaken about. Doug, we're seeing that oil is reacting pretty positively due to the fact that there was a $15 price tag on an Iran deal. In other words, if the Iran deal went through, $15 off the price of oil. That's what the estimates were. So now that this is possibly not happening, what's happening is that we're seeing that many of these companies are doing much better, shutting down rigs, laying off people, selling all sorts of things, doing what they can to shore up their finances. And I think that oil finished at about 50, what did it finish at, 53 and change? I have it here.
I don't have
53.5. 53.5 is oil. Your Mondelez is finally making a little bit of a move. This is the one that's really interesting, and this is the one that really concerns me, is your pick of TBT. That's the ProShares ultra short 20-year bond. In other words, what happens here is that as interest rates get lower, this does worse. The whole theory is, if the economy is getting better, people won't want to be in the bonds. But we're seeing that there's still a major push into bonds, and that's why you're off 7.5%. So with all the good things that are happening, with all the benefits of the good employment numbers, the relatively good employment numbers, except for last time, and all the things that are happening, we're still seeing people pile into bonds. Not a really good thing. Although, I'll give you one caveat. We talked about this. The fact is that if you want to buy a bond and you're living in Europe, you're going to buy a bond that's either a negative yield or maybe a 0.5% yield. Why not come to America and buy a 2% bond that's backed by the U.S. government?
And that's probably what's propping it up.
Yep. Monster Beverage still a monster. American Assets Trust still 23% up. Zotus up good. Let's see what we have. GoPro. GoPro is starting to get a bunch of recent upgrades. Their earnings are out, I think, the 18th or 19th of this month. And the stock came down, settled down, then it started moving back up, moved down again. And now it's starting to creep higher. After the close today, I think it was Piper Jaffray upgraded the stock, and the stock jumped about maybe 50 cents or 75 cents. But we're just at a break even, down about 2%. Genosia Biosciences up 7.5%. My Biotech, which I thought was a little bit overdone, is now off by 8%. That was the short on the double. So therefore, that means that biotech since 4-1,
you'll kick that right. You'll be kicked out of that in no time.
Since the beginning
That's
of this month,
pure crapshoot.
Yep, 4%. The biotechs are on average up for the Nasdaq biotechs. Alcoa actually missed. Remember, we bought that because what the hell? People were just buying anything anyway, and Alcoa missed. The stock went up about 1-2% after the close when they reported, and they came straight down the next day. And my long shot, Anthera Pharmaceuticals, up about 2.64. Now, my pick this week, this is interesting. Actually, this is a combination of something I've been looking at and then an idea I got off somebody that wrote us on Twitter. They say, this is what they said. Watching Yang. That's all they said. Just watching Yang. And I'm thinking, is he still involved with Yahoo, that guy? No, that was the wrong guy, I think. Yang. I'm wondering, what? Watching Yang. I'm thinking maybe it's a show. Maybe it's a TV show. I had no idea, honestly.
With Twitter, you can ask the guy what he means.
Yeah, no, I understand that, but I was too lazy. So tonight I'm looking for a potential short on the Chinese markets.
Okay, let me get this straight, what it looks like. You're shorting a triple long.
Yeah.
So this is some sort of crazy ETF I've never heard of, called Direxion Daily China Bull 3X.
Yep. Up 73% for the year to date.
And you're shorting it.
Yeah. It's the opposite side is Yang, Yin and Yang.
Oh, Yin and Yang. He's watching Yang. Oh, yeah. This is Yin.
Yeah, that's one of my stories.
Oh, he's shorting Yang. He's buying Yang.
He's looking to buy Yang.
You could buy Yang instead of shorting Yin.
Right.
But you like this better because of what?
This is up 73% year to date. Yang is down 52%.
Okay, so this has more swing.
Yep.
Okay.
So this is the China market. My thought process is that, and again, it's the game. I will probably end up doing some of this for our portfolios, but I'm going to wait. I can only do it today. You know what I mean? With us. So, or next week for that matter. But I may do this if I see this starting to roll over, if something happens with GDP, et cetera. But I'm looking at this as, you know, China has really gone a long way on really nothing more than stimulus bets. They're
hot air.
Yeah. The fundamentals of the companies are better, of course, but still a lot of new money. One of the things that happened, I think I mentioned, 2 million new accounts were opened last week on the retail side in China. Chinese people opened up 2 million new retail brokerage accounts last week. And more importantly, leverage margin is at the highest level ever. They're leveraging the crap out of it. And if you read article after article, people have no idea that they're doing this, but they're doing it because they think they can make a lot more money with it. They're leveraging their accounts. If China comes in and says, you know what, fine, open accounts, do what you're going to do, but you know what, this margin amount that you have outstanding is really ridiculous, there may be a backlash because you'll be forced to sell out. So that's my thesis. I should probably put a 15% stop on this. I'm going to go 15% on this because it could move fast. 15%.
You know, I heard, I was watching something the other day on the television, and they made this comment, I think it was on actually the PBS NewsHour maybe, something like the Chinese have used more cement, Portland cement, you know, the cement.
Yep.
In the last, I think it's the last 2 or 3 years, than the United States used in the entire 20th century.
Well, just building roads there would do that.
Yeah, probably.
I mean, just building roads and those buildings they build, but the roads themselves, the infrastructure growth that they've had is astounding. And they, you know, to build that out, I mean, how many miles are we talking about? China's how much bigger than the United States?
It's not that much bigger. I think it's like twice the size, maybe. I don't know. Let's take a look. China's size versus U.S.
How great is the internet?
Well,
we could all be so stupid. I go out with my friends. I don't have to know any answers anymore.
No, you guys, as long as you got your phone.
I have my phone. There's somebody that's a question. I don't remember who that guy was in that movie. Look it up. Okay. It works both ways, by the way. Those smarty pantses no longer have free reign.
Yeah, there's that. Yeah, just be an idiot and get by.
Yep.
Let's see what we got. Country facts, China versus U.S. side by side. Let's look at these. Will probably be interesting.
Yeah, I know how large China is. We're going to buy it.
Okay. This is poorly done. Well, the age of consent is 16 in China, if that means anything to anyone. Where is the size economy?
It's 3.7 million square miles.
Okay, what's ours?
I'm looking. USA.
I think I jumped on the wrong site here.
3.8. We're bigger.
Oh, there you go.
Huh?
When you include Alaska.
Really? Yeah, look at that. Wow. No, that's just... Yeah, that's with Alaska. You're right. And maybe Hawaii. And we have 318 million. They are four times... Oh, man, that's... Wow.
Well, when you consider you can take the entire Earth's population and there's enough room for them to stand around and walk around and even lay down, I think, in the state of Texas. In fact, I think the stat was everyone in the United States could go to the state of Texas and have an acre.
Really?
Yeah. This is, you know, this population thing is overrated.
Mm. A lot of people, a lot of mouths to feed. What do you have
to
say? They
just all group into one area.
Yeah.
Well, I was looking at the insider thing. I couldn't find. Well, I'm going to put Netflix. I'm going to go long Netflix on the thesis that we developed on the show, which is there's a split coming.
All right. That's a good one. Let me get this here. Yep. Okay.
The insider stuff is pretty lame. There's not a lot going on. Let me go back to my list.
Which is interesting because you have so many companies doing the buybacks and all that. You would think that maybe something should be going on.
Well, so it's the problem with the big deals are all like. Like here, Roche is buying $780 million worth of Foundation Medicine, which means they're basically buying the company. But the stock has been pretty flat from January to the present at $40, which means this is a buyout merger something going on. It's not going to do anything to the stock.
Right.
Here's one that's another one that's this guy's dropped $12 million. Into Cinta Pharmaceuticals. I'm trying to stay away from these. And
it seems to be a lot of that, right? A lot of this pharmaceutical world.
Yeah, pharmaceutical guys are buying. He's buying, but this guy has a crappy track record. In fact, I'm going to look at his track record. He is a director. And I think the stock's selling for $3 or so, SNTA. And he's buying like crazy. He's buying in June of last year. He's buying 200,000 shares, $2 million worth at $4.99. And then he buys some more at $4. Then he buys some more at $4.43. Then he buys some more at $4.65. Then $4.35. Then he buys a truckload at $4.71. I mean, the stock is $3 now.
Yep.
He did buy a lot at $1.75. But
where these people get all their money is just mind-boggling to do this.
I know.
You know, if you really think about it.
They hit a home run early. You know, you get a home run early. You get $50 to $100 million. And then you do these, and then you're an insider because you usually, if you make that kind of money, you have to be on a few boards. And you know what's going on.
Yep.
These are all corrupt trades as far as I'm concerned.
But it's nice to follow along.
Steve Ballmer got rich that way. He wasn't, you know, he was getting paid whatever he was paid, but he was all in on Microsoft stock. He pretty much invested all of his money in this early on. Back into the company, and he became a billionaire. As far as I know, the only billionaire guy who was literally an employee, hired hand, who became a billionaire. I don't know anyone else who's done that.
Hmm.
So I, you know, that's how I think once you get in this. But yeah, you can follow along. You can watch these guys. But this guy doesn't seem to have much of a track record. At least his timing isn't good. So I'm not going in Cinta Pharmaceuticals.
Yeah.
Although it has a, and it also has a weird chart. I don't like it.
But all these are. I mean, we're seeing pharmaceuticals and biotechs in particular. Really, just I mean, there was a couple more deals done last week. The Mylan Labs looks like they got purchased Perrigo. Which was, we own Mylan Labs. Mylan Labs was up 15%. Perrigo's up
14%.
Huh. Weird, right? But it looks like an inversion play. Looks like that Mylan Labs is going to take, you know, Perrigo's in Ireland. I thought these deals were off the table.
Yeah, you
know, Obama inversion, did the hand, yeah. And he did the finger shake at the no good. But
well, you in trouble.
Yep, you're in trouble. Well, sir, I'm going to, we're going to have to end it here. And we will meet.
Minute.
What, you have more?
Before you go into your voice, I got want you to look at one stock that I might put on here.
Okay, go ahead.
We ask you, it's a closed-end fund that has fallen through the floor, and some insider, one of the guys directing it, is buying it. It's $3.54. It's Full Circle Capital, F-U-L-L.
F-U-L-L. Full Circle Capital.
And if you look at the chart... It's like a race to the bottom.
$42 million company. Let's see what these guys do. Non-diversified closed-end management investment company. Invested to generate both current income and capital appreciation. Their company invests in primarily senior secured loans, mezzanine loans, and equity. Okay. So what they're doing is they're doing some kind of a leverage deal with loans. So they're using secured loans and mezzanine loans and... equity securities issued by smaller and lower middle market companies that operate in a diverse range of industries. They're looking for... Here's the problem. Investments would range in size from $3 to $10 million. The company focuses on portfolio companies with both tangible and intangible assets available as collateral. So basically what the deal is, this company's done a really shitty job at vetting any of their investments, it looks like. Oh, this is terrible. What a chart. Jeez.
I know. The chart's astonishing.
That should be doing well. What's the problem? Oh, interesting. So one of the things about this, it looks like one of their competitors is Lending Club. And the Lending Club may have taken a lot of business from these guys. These were doing small loans backed by collateral and all that. And what they probably had happen was they just got outwitted by like the these small crowdsourcing types of investment deals. That makes it a lot easier to go. But on April 10th, he acquired what number is that? How much is that? 50 million?
Right now?
No, is it 5 million? No, it says insider buying. Full Circle Capital Corp. Chairman acquires. Is that 5 million or 50 million? It must be five.
Five, I think.
Must be 5 million. $5 million. Yeah. $5 million. So he basically bought, the company is worth $42 million. He bought 10% of the company himself. John Edward Stewart. Yeah.
Well, there's something up, and I'm looking at, you know, if you look at the stock analysts, they're all saying buy, buy, buy. And they've been saying buy since 2013. Maxim Group's the big followers, the other ones following the stock more than anyone. And there's other companies that went from neutral to buy, but it's always been, it goes like this. In 2013, the Maxim Group said buy. It was at, I guess, 850, expected to go to 9. And then 4 months later, they said it should go to 10. And then in March of 2014, they said it should go from 8 or should go to 8. Downside potential 650. I mean, they were all wrong all the way up to now.
How unusual.
Well,
how unusual.
Yeah.
But the one thing they have going for them.
Gambling going on.
One thing going for them. They are in Greenwich. That's where they're located. They're in Greenwich
they
Avenue.
Finished
Greenwich.
With the voice after all. Well, let's put it on there and I'll fall. I think I'll put it on. Let's put it on.
All right, let me put it on.
It's bottom feeding.
Yep. Well, that's okay. Sometimes that works.
Yeah, well, let's hope so.
Let's put this on here. And is the tag on this bottom feeding?
Yeah. Put insider/bottom feeding.
Insider/bottom feeding. Okay, you're in.
All right, good.
All right, I will talk to you next week. Hopefully, we'll have some interesting things to talk about, and we'll make sure that the armadillos in our neck of the woods are safe.
Okay, sounds good.
All
talk
right.
to you then.
All right, thanks.
You've
Bye.
Been listening in on a conversation with John C. Dvorak and Andrew Horowitz. Hope to be with you again soon. Bye-bye.
Now, I'm not broke, but badly bent. I'm not down to my last cent, cause I got a dollar, but it's my last dollar bill. Yes, sir. In my pocket, there's a dent. All my dough is nearly spent, but I got a dollar, and it's my last dollar bill. Oh, I'd love just one more buck fortune left me by chance. Now, here's a hint, I feel like a man. You can hardly tell by a glance. I don't care, no millionaire can give me the icy stare, cause I got a dollar, my last dollar bill.